From the heart of downtown Chula Vista, another episode of the Connected Show. I am your host, Ruben Torres, sitting in with Miguel Rodriguez.
Hello, how you doing?
Everything good?
Everything's great.
Man, we're just trying to knock out all these podcasts and trying to edutain some folks. Mm-hmm. And man, this episode's it's a little different for some of the stuff that we do. We have Max Zaker. He is a local businessman, real estate, small business owner, all kinds of stuff, man. And he is going to be running for city council here in Chula Vista.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's coming through to kind of fill us in on his take on things and why people need to vote for him.
Yeah. Local politics are actually pretty important.
Yep.
I don't think we pay attention to them, you know, as much as we should. But
some of the stuff that we don't think about.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
And, you know, and he's local. He lives right around the corner from our office. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he you know, in talking to him in the past, he's brought up a lot of cool points of things that we need to think about, including all the stuff that's going to be built down here in the Bayfront.
Huge development.
And one thing I got to say about Max is he's come to hang out at our office a couple times and sometimes didn't even talk politics, just to kind of come and see what we're doing, what we're up to. And he's just genuinely interested in what we have going on. He even took it a step further and he went to Tijuana with us to visit the shelters. He went down to hang out at Es Por Los Niños for a little bit. So
he didn't care about getting his hands dirty.
Yeah, yeah. And he was there. He loaded up his car. We all went down there. Me and my son jumped in his car with him and let's do this. And so he wasn't, it wasn't about politics. It wasn't about getting a vote. It was just about coming out and you know, being part of the movement. So that was real dope, man.
Big ups.
Yeah. So, you know, excited to get into see what he has to say about the state of Chula Vista, where it's going to be, where it's going, and where it's at. So, Max Zaker, you can check him out too. I think it's voteformax.com, something
for
like
Max,
that.
Yeah. But maxforchulavista.com.
Something like that, yeah.
Max for Chula Vista.
We'll post it. We'll have it on here. You can check out all the links. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, my boy Chichi is asleep while he's listening to this. So, shout out to my boy Chichi, Rafael Bioe. He's over here falling asleep, snoring on the mic. But, also, so who do we got a plug on this one?
Plug. Ooh, you know who? You know, recently we had a visit from our very own Mayor Salas, who's actually going into the election again this year, right? She's running for mayor again.
I think so. And, I don't know how long she's been mayor, but she's been for a minute.
Yeah, she's so really awesome.
Shout out to Mayor Salas. She's come by our office a couple of times, shown us some love, connected us with their cultural and arts division. Lynette Tessitore, she's been coming through too, and you know, we're hoping to continue to build that relationship with them. Mayor Salas actually took it to a whole nother level because she actually bought a piece of art that that was hanging in our office here from one of our friends, Enrique Rivera from Soledad State Prison. So it's in her office, as a matter of fact. So if you guys get a chance to go by the mayor's office in Chula Vista, which, you know, I don't know how many people get to do that, but if you're over in the area and you want to see a cool piece of art, which is, it was Carlos Santana. He painted, shout out to Enrique.
Great looking piece.
He painted Carlos Santana, and we had it hanging here in our office, and she came by to see Andy, and Andy pitched her on it, and she bought it, and it's hanging in her office. And the cool part was the day after she bought it, she was telling us how big of a Santana fan she is. So the day after she bought it, we took Andy Vargas out to the singer for Santana, and she got to meet him as well. So that was kind of cool, you know.
And also, he took a picture with it the year previously.
Yeah, yeah.
And she took a picture with it when she bought it.
Yeah.
And when Andy Vargas was there with her in the office, they both took a picture with it, which made it even more powerful.
That is cool. So, Enrique, if you're... I don't know if you're hearing this or if someone can get you to hear it or someone that you know, but just know that that piece got very, very well publicized all over the place. It got some recognition from some cool people.
It was a great piece.
Yeah, it was a dope. Great piece. Real dope.
I know Andy was sad to see it go.
Yeah, I didn't want to see it go, but I'm glad it went to a good honor and it's in a good place. It's in a good place now.
Definitely.
But, shout out to Milton Motion, my boy Tim Hernandez, always hooking us up. Make sure you check him out, MiltonMotion.com. He does our websites, photos. He also produces this podcast. So any of the services you may need, you can hit him up direct, MiltonMotion.com. Check out all the stuff he has on social media as well. And also brought to you by Love Thy Neighbor, LoveThyNeighborMovement.com. A lot of stuff going on. We could always use volunteers. Also, man, if you guys are in the mood and you guys got an extra, you know, couple bucks a month that you want to shoot our way to help us sustain and continue doing some good work in our neighborhoods, make sure you shoot us 5, 10, 25, 100 bucks, whatever you can a month.
Million.
We're looking for some sustainability to continue doing some good in the hood. So make sure you guys shoot us a couple bucks. Make sure you check out LoveThyNeighborMovement.com. You can see all the info right then and there. And hit that donate button. Don't be shy. Much love. And who else we got? Oh, the Gathering Grounds. The Gathering Grounds can't always blesses that. Us up. Blesses us with some coffee and teas and all kinds of good stuff. So when you guys are over here at the Love Thy Neighbor offices, make sure you take a trip downstairs and hit up Rob Chapman and ask for the Love Thy Neighbor special or whatever that may be, and he'll hook you up with something. He'll just make something up right then and there. But some great coffee, a great place to stop and chill. There's Wi-Fi, all kinds of good stuff. So make sure you guys come by, check it out. Sponsored by the Gathering Grounds Cafe. And shout out to the city of Chula Vista. Lynette Tessitore, Chula Vista Arts, and the mayor.
Yeah, always mayor. Doing it big, supporting the art community here.
Yep. And maybe Max Zaker is going to be in the city. We'll see.
Let's
see what this conversation does. Yeah,
tune in.
Sounds good. So let's check this out. Stay connected. Get connected.
Yo, if you're C-O-N-E-C-T-A-D-O, you already know about the show, so let's go. It's your music and lifestyle, fashion profile, the entertainment source for everything you want to know about. North to the south, the east to the west side, stay connected with Ruben Torres worldwide, so let's go. Across the globe, well respected, beasting on the industry. Connected.
Max, thank you for coming out, hanging out with us on the Connected Show. We got our co-host Miguel.
How you doing?
And we got Mark in the house. Mark, I always ask you, how do you say your last name?
Losh.
Mark Losh. And Max, you're running for city council. Thanks for coming out, hanging out. I know you're walking distance from here, but thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having us.
And Max, I know this is probably something a little different for what we do on the Connected Show, but wanted to have you out, man, because this is important to what we do here in our community in Chula Vista, especially where we're at. You are running for City Council of District 2 in Chula Vista. Tell us a little bit about how you got to that point. Or, you know, let's start off maybe your background a little bit. Sure. In business.
Well, first off, thank you for having me. This is an honor. It's not every day I get to share my story, but today I'm going to share it with you. I've lived in San Diego for about 30 years. I'm an immigrant. So I came here as an immigrant, and you know, I spent my whole life just like most immigrants, matter of survival, right? Didn't have a work permit. I had to go get a job, and nobody wanted to give me a job, so I started my own small businesses. So along the way, that's been my journey. And if I was to sum up my life in 2 minutes or less, you know, I've been the guy who's created opportunities not only for myself, for my family, but for others, right? Right now, I own a few companies in Chula Vista where I employ a couple of hundred people, most of whom are Chula Vista residents. But as an immigrant, and this is not a cliche, you learn certain things that most importantly, you learn not to take anything for granted. And you learn how to earn everything that's given to you. So that's been the story of my life. And I just got to a point where I felt it was time for me to give back to a community that's given me so much. Remember, I don't take anything for granted. Whatever I do have, it's something that I've had to work for, and I'm eternally grateful for it. But I've got 25 plus years of building businesses, creating jobs, problem solving, community building, organizing people. So I thought, you know what? It's time for me to flip this over. Mm-hmm. And it's time for me to give back. And that's really what my campaign has always been about. I'm not a career politician. I'm not looking to build a career out of it. I just want to serve my community. This is where I live. This is where I intend to live. And this is where my kids grew up. So that's the journey that I've been on.
Well, your background is so much involved in business, though. What would make you want to jump, you know, take that leap into politics? Because you don't need politics. You don't need to jump in there. You're already successful in business and everything that you've created business wise. Why would you want to take the leap?
Sure. Well, here's the misconception. There's politics in everything we do. There's politics at home.
That is true.
There's politics in being a dad. Yeah. There's certainly politics in business. So, although I have not been in public life, but my journey has really actually prepared me quite well to go on the public side. And I have ran a couple of very large nonprofit or publicly funded revitalization programs in San Diego. So I've had extensive dealings and experience in bringing public and private sector together. Mm-hmm. But I've always done it as a private citizen. So I think I'm actually quite prepared for it. But not as a politician, as a private citizen, but the practices, the principles really are one of the same. And I think that positions me in a very unique way that I can come in and I can say it like it is. Yeah. I can help manage our city budget. But it is my belief that our government needs to be financially responsible. Mm-hmm. So the way I would run my company is the way I would run city government. Yeah. I will certainly not run my business paycheck to paycheck, nor would I allow our city government to practice and function that way.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think, or what have you found that are differences with running, maybe, I know it's just the beginning, but running a campaign and running a business?
I mean, there are differences.
Or maybe Mark can jump in on this one too.
Yeah. You know, in business, you're in business to make money. And I always tell people that. If that's not your motivation, then you really shouldn't be in business. Because if you don't make money, you can't pay your bills, you can't create jobs. The difference is when you're in a public service or nonprofit, you have a double bottom line. There is your economic impact and your social impact. Mm-hmm. Actually, I would say there's a third component, which is your environmental impact. So although your motivation is not to turn a profit, but really if you think about it, if you don't run local government like a business should be, you're going to run out of money and you're not going to be able to pay for the city services. So I would say the fundamentals are one of the same, just the way you and I would balance our checkbook. I think local governments should be operating that way, but your audience is different. The measurements are different. The matrix is different. Mm-hmm. And one of the differences, the general public will get to decide whether or not you're worthy of that honor. Yeah. But beyond that, at least from what I've gathered and what I've experienced, really the principles are very much the same. Mm.
So what is it about yourself that you think, why should people vote for you? What's going to get this district, this community, the area that you live in right down the street, what are they going to... What's going to create that oomph to want to get them to go run out and vote for you?
You know, I think it's time for Chula Vista to start feeling sorry for itself. We have so much opportunities here. And I say Chula Vista is on the move. And to keep it moving, you need somebody with business acumen. Yeah. You need somebody who can negotiate these complex contracts with developers. Mm-hmm. You need somebody who understands small business community, why people fail versus some people succeed. It's not a kind of a textbook experience. This is somebody who's done it. Yeah. So I've been boots on the ground. I mean, I've been in the trenches as a small business, as a large business. Why would Chula Vista have me in City Hall? Because what we need in Chula Vista is economic development. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't need sympathy. We don't need a handout. We have all the elements here. We have the Bayfront. We have a tremendous history behind Chula Vista. We have some amazing citizens here, people who deeply care about their community. And we are the second largest city, by the way, San Diego County, right? Mm-hmm. 15 minutes to downtown San Diego, 20 minutes to Mexico. Yeah. We are well positioned.
Yeah.
But in order to take full advantage of that and make sure that we leave a better tomorrow for our children, we need to do the work today. Mm-hmm. And there's some heavy lifting to do. There's some tough business decisions to make, and I believe that I'm the right candidate with the right experience and the knowledge base to be able to hit the ground running day one. Mm-hmm. This is not an on-the-job training program, today.
Yeah.
So in that context, I would say I am well positioned for that.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, being so close to downtown Third Avenue, which is, we're right around the corner from that, seeing, you know, all the businesses popping up. And then there's a lot that are, you know, closing down. I see a lot of, you know, empty, like vacant units. What's your thoughts on downtown Chula Vista?
You know, downtown Chula Vista, in fact, I was looking at some pictures from the 1926, was the heart of our city. Mm-hmm. And I think downtown Chula Vista, once again, will become the heart of our city. Mm-hmm. Downtown is where people need to come and gather, but we've got to give them a reason. I think we have taken the first steps of that renaissance, but we got ways to go. Mm-hmm. You know, our small businesses really have been struggling for so many years, and all you have to do is just take a walk up and down, you know, Third Avenue. You'll see it for yourself. But we need the entire community to come together. We need the property owners. We need a vision. We need the business community. We need our residents. We need all the stakeholders. We need the elected officials. Mm-hmm. All come together and rally around one common vision, which is we want our downtown to be a walkable community, mm-hmm. right? We've got to look at some public transportation. We have to look at how we're developing Northwest Chula Vista. We have to densify it. Mm-hmm. It's called heads in beds. I mean, if you don't have customers within walking distance from those restaurants, they are going to fail. Mm-hmm. Downtowns typically are walkable communities. Mm-hmm. So there are many elements that we have to look at. Again, how we design, how we build, how we manage, and make sure that everybody's at the table and everyone has a voice mm-hmm. in that plan and see that vision and see a part for themselves in that vision. I think that's what's going to really revive our downtown, and it's happening.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see it happen faster, and I think I have the experience and the background to be able to do this because I've done it in other communities.
Yeah. What do you think is missing right now? Even hearing from you guys, I mean,
I believe Chula Vista has always suffered from a image problem. Mm-hmm. We need an image consultant,
right.
Someone who will come in and say, let me understand what our community is really, really all about and create a brand and image around it. We have mm-hmm. a marketing problem.
Yeah.
Here's what happens. I am absolutely sick to the stomach when I go outside of our community. I meet with a lot of business people and they say, oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Chula Vista. And I can tell their facial impression. That really gets me going. Mm-hmm. That's a branding problem. And when I ask them, well, what do you feel that way?
Yeah, they move in their seat and they say, oh.
Yeah. And no one can really give me a specific reason. It's just, it's a perception. But if you don't deal with perception, it becomes a reality. I think that's what's missing. We mm-hmm. need a very robust marketing PR campaign mm-hmm. for Chula Vista that truly highlights and accentuates what this community is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I would make that a top priority. And as a business guy, I'm good at doing that.
Yeah.
And that comes with experience. Yeah.
What about you youngsters? What do you guys think?
Well, Miguel, it's funny that you say all that too, because just recently I had someone come over here and visit, and they first thing they did, they were here all day. We were working together on a project, and it was about, not, you know, it was evening time, but it ended up turning dark by the time he ended up leaving. And so when he comes out, and he's not from here, he's from Escondido, he goes and says, Mike, I'm not from Chula Vista. I don't come down here that often, but am I going to get shot right now? Am I going to get mugged? Am I, you know, if I drive down the street, is something going to happen? Someone going to steal my car? And I'm like, why would you think that? And he goes, well, Chula Vista doesn't have the best reputation. And I'm like, wow. Dude, Chula Vista's really grown. Like that's never been an issue growing up here. So I can see why, like, it's weird how someone from Escondido was able to think that towards Chula Vista. So I can definitely see that image problem. And I've always thought the same thing, that was just, like, something that Chula Vista really needs to work on. And that's just kind of like that, you know, sex appeal. It really needs, and you know, Eastlake and Otay Ranch, I think they did a really good job of kind of creating that sex appeal for Chula Vista, because I think that's a really cool community. It's growing. It's still growing. And, you know, I kind of like what's happening here on Third Avenue as well. And what is it, the development right here, the Bayfront development, I think that's going to bring a lot of good things to Chula Vista, and that's really going to bring a lot of good things to Third Avenue here downtown. I think anyone who's there, who's visiting us, that's going to be the forefront right here. Do you agree?
Absolutely. In fact, our Bayfront really needs to become the front door to Chula Vista. Mm-hmm. And again, we are one of the only communities, I think, in the state of California, if I'm not mistaken, that as you get closer to the bayfront, property values actually decline. So think of other communities, right?
Yeah.
Think of Del Mar, think of La Jolla, Pacific Beach. Property values actually increase as you get to the closer to the bayfront. For us, it's the opposite. There are reasons for that. But I think all that is about to change. There's a fresh vision. There is some big planning going on, but we really need to stay close to this stuff because not all developments are created equal. We've seen sometimes developments can really create gentrification in some communities. But I think we're in a very unique time, you know, in the history of Chula Vista. Our Bayfront Master Plan, it really is a world-class project.
Yeah.
And you've got a couple of big developers that are very committed to bring in, you know, their experiences and bring something top-notch. But we want to make sure that we don't give the farm away.
Yeah.
We absolutely have to make sure that not only we get some benefits during the construction phase, but we want to make sure that we retain as much community benefits for our small business community. So my vision is, you know, we need to find a way that the community benefits of Bayfront really spill out as far as a 10-mile radius. Mm-hmm. So if you're a small business, you know, guy who's got a small landscaping job, we want to create opportunities for him to be able to bid on a landscaping job at the Bayfront.
Yeah.
So again, that's the type of community benefits that I'm talking about. But, you know, Bayfront project really has a potential. It's a game changer for Chula Vista. But again, we have to make sure that it's done responsibly, economically, socially, and environmentally responsible.
Yeah.
Well, I think one thing too that that kind of sparked my interest with you is you know, having, because I'm an immigrant. You know, I came from Mexico, but you know, I was interested in your background, your story. You know, being an immigrant from Iran, right?
Yes, I was actually born in Iran, and I left Iran when I was almost 15 years old. So I was going to give my age away now, right?
Uh-oh.
And I grew up in England. So I got my, I finished high school, I got my college education. So I lived in England from the age 15, 16 to about 28. And of course, you know, that was a post-Shah of Iran, so there was that chain migration, you know, thousands of people were coming to the U.S. So my family actually moved to the U.S. in the late 70s. And I decided to join them. I came to San Diego, I believe, in 86, 87. I've been here since then. Mm-hmm. So I've lived in San Diego or in the U.S., excuse me, most of my life.
And so, touch a little bit on background. You gave me some of the story a little bit the other day when we hung out. But give me a little bit of that story so the listeners know a little bit about the background from when you got here and how you kind of built up your businesses.
Sure, you know, I came here like every other immigrant. I came for the promise, for the promise, for the opportunity that someday, you know, I too will build a life for myself. So I came and, you know, along with my three brothers, we actually started a family business. So we started a chain of dry cleaners. Some of, actually, are still in Chula Vista, mostly in
which
eastern
one?
Part of Chula Vista, called Arya Cleaners, A-R-Y-A.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. And, you know, we all came from different backgrounds, but we came here for one reason. That we were gonna start a family business, we were gonna create opportunities for ourselves, and we did that. We did that for a few years, and but you know, I always knew that there was more to it than what small business could offer me. So after a few years, we decided to maintain our family relationship and separate our business relationship. So I went a different direction. I started starting small businesses for myself. And I think I was doing the math the other day. I probably started and owned close to two dozens of small businesses throughout San Diego County. Mm-hmm. But along the way, I kind of developed this interest for what I call community economic development, which is really taking the best practices from the private sector and then infusing that into how communities are developed, and that's a private, public-private partnership kind of a concept, if you will, right? So that kind of took me on this journey where I got hired by Downtown San Diego Partnership, which is an association made up of a group of, you know, property owners, And when downtown was going through the Renaissance, you know, 25 years ago, much like what we're talking about Chula Vista, yeah. at any given night, we had about 1,500 homeless people just sleeping on the streets in horrible conditions. And, of course, the developers weren't going to come in and deal with that. City of San Diego was throwing about $50 million a year in terms of budget to it. Mm-hmm. But really, it wasn't working. And so I got hired to go in and created what is now known as San Diego's first business improvement district, where a group of property owners said, hey, look, we're not going to look to the government to address this issue. We're going to take this on. Mm-hmm. So we actually created a district by a majority vote. And so the district is self-funded. Back then, it was almost $10 million a year.
Wow.
And then we created a community board of directors so they had complete oversight over the money. And then we started hiring. We actually started going onto the street and hiring some of these homeless people to come work for us.
Nice.
So we started maintaining all the parks, all the sidewalks, and, some of the things that property owners were complaining about, we decided to kind of
flip it.
And then we dressed these guys up. We teach them some trades. Some of them went into public safety. And believe it or not, within a few years, the same guy that was being arrested every day for public defecation, drinking in the public, a couple of years later, he was on uniform, carrying a badge, and actually working with police officers to go out there and doing community outreach. So,
that's what Chula Vista needs right there.
Yeah. So when you work in those type of environment, it will change you.
Yeah.
It will change the way you look at business. So out of those experiences, every time I created a company for myself, I always made sure that there was a social mission embedded in how we did business.
Yeah.
And specifically how we hire people.
Yeah.
And the environment that we create, that our companies really have embedded a culture of integrity and doing the right thing all the time and changing lives, you know, one person at a time. So whether I've been on the nonprofit side or for-profit side, that's where I tend to be kind of focusing on it. What can I do to change somebody's life today, even if it's in the smallest possible way? So I've had some small wins along the way, and I've had some big wins. But the win that I see for Chula Vista, bringing it back local, is to really, for me, to bring that way of thinking. It's second nature to me. And be able to do that, not only bring about economic development, but again, really bring about a sense of social responsibility. Because I think as residents, we all have a responsibility to care for each other and care for our community. Yeah. So,
I put the word out, letting people know, hey, man, you know, we're going to be taking some toys down to TJ. We're going to be, you know, going down, heading out. And only a handful of people responded. And I was like, man, what's going on with the, you know, the week before, we had like a bunch of people that rolled out with this. And then, even when you went down, like we had a bunch of people that went out with this. And then this time we had like a handful of people. And Max was like, what time? I'm there. You know, so Max showed up. We loaded up his car and then we went down to TJ to a couple of places. Tell me about your experience. How did you feel about that? What was it something different that kind of took you out of your element?
Sure. It was out of my element because, you know, I'm the guy who's, you know, suits up in the morning and goes and deals with business problems. But it wasn't out of my element as such that I had done. I've visited a lot of orphanages down there. But, you know, in the past, it was kind of sort of organized and orchestrated. Mm. But the experience this time was very different. And I remember when I went back home and my wife had said, well, how was it? All I can tell you is I would get choked up just to explain to her what I saw firsthand. The conditions that some of these people have to endure daily. And I said, you know, the part that really, really got to me was when I got back in my car and I took the corner and I looked, I could see downtown San Diego. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I said, hold on, there's something wrong with this picture. How can this be? How can we live in two distinctly different worlds? Within a few miles, you've got an abundance of resources.
Yeah.
But yet on this side, some of the most basic human needs, and I mean basic, are not met. So again, every time I go through one of these, it's life-changing. Mm-hmm. And I say that my life was changed that day. So I came back and I said, you know what? I got to sit down and really think about this. So you know, we came up with an idea, my wife and I, that, you know, from now on with our 12-year-old, you know, we're going to come up with a plan that, you know, a percentage of, you know, hair, you know, what we give to her, you know, weekly as part of her allowance, is going to be set aside for different type of causes. And that, you know, it is important to us that now we want to take her on some of these experiences. So, it was gut-wrenching. It was life-changing. It was an eye-opener. But it's not until, and I think I was sharing with you earlier, you know, you hear about this stuff, you see it on CNN, you see it on all these kind of programs, but it's not until you're there that it really, really give you a sense of disparity, that why our societies as civilized as we are, but yet we're still suffering from some of these very basic fundamentals and differences in ideologies. Be it as it may, I can't change the way the world works, but I can certainly change the way I behave, change the way I run my business, the way I handle my life. So I'm going to certainly do my part. And my other comment to this is, Ruben, I used to think that, gosh, these problems are so big, so my little piece is not going to make a difference. So I just won't do it. And I realized that that's just absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
That every little bit does count. So if we all did our little bits, then it becomes a big bit. So again, it changed the way I think.
Yeah, we sat, we were in a shelter. It was called Movimiento Juventud, and we sat in the kitchen and we spoke to the people that run it, and they were kind of just thanking us for everything. And we took down a meal that was sponsored by Pollo Grill. Victor, shout out to Victor. So we took down a meal and you know, a couple other little things, but you've seen their kitchen, you've seen their shelves, and there's pretty much nothing on their shelves. There's no, you know, a couple cans of food, and you know, whatever it is people bring that day is what they have. And they have about I think they said 60 immigrants, refugees that are there sleeping in tents on the hard concrete. And you know, it's just tough to see those conditions. It was two rooms that they have. They have maybe about three mattresses each, and that's for like the women and children. Everyone else kind of sleep outside. So the conditions are pretty tough there. And, you know, just want to say thanks for coming out and seeing that and sharing your experience, because I think that's what's needed the most, is people to come out and actually experience something, get out of their element, and just experience that, because it is tough. So thank you for coming out and doing that. You know, appreciate that.
And I like what Max said, too, about if everyone did their little bit, it becomes a big bit, because it's true. Imagine how many people we know that, you know, when we were talking, like, if we had a bunch of hands on deck, it would make a big difference, because with the little amount of help that we've had during, you know, the season for Love Thy Neighbor and the toy drive, when we were just running around endlessly, everyone's doing their part of what they can. You know, all we could think about was, we got to do this, 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 and we had such a short time to do it.
Yeah.
But if we had a huge, like a lot of, you know, all hands on deck type of deal, and it's not even a lot of time either. It was just more, there was so little of us that we had to do a bunch of things in such a short amount of time.
The harvest is plenty and the labor is few.
Yeah, so, I definitely agree with that. If just everyone put a little bit of time in just giving back to society, and this goes for not even just Chula Vista, but this is a worldwide issue, you know, and if it was just more of a, just little bits of help from everybody here and there, it would definitely make every, you know, a lot of change.
Yeah, I mean, and it's also about social justice and equality.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point we're gonna have to, you know, bring this 800-pound gorilla conversation, put it on the table, and all look at it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, when we talk about change, it's a big picture.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, to me, change is an inside job. I mean, if I changed the way I think about the world, And if you change it, I think little by little we can make a difference.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not giving up on the world. I think there's still plenty of good in the world, mm-hmm. and I think we just have to keep conveying this message that look, if each of us did our little part, it will make a difference. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I want to thank you, Ruben, for creating this kind of a platform so that we can get our message out to people. Mm-hmm. But you know, I will certainly continue doing my part. But it's got to start from inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. So what would you say? What would you say you need from the community to make your vision move forward as candidate and eventually as councilman? What do you need from the community?
Sure. You know, we need a dialogue, right? You know, recycled politics just doesn't work anymore. If you look at the 20 years in the history of Chula Vista, you know, you've had, you know, good well-intended people that have always been around. Maybe those were the only guys who were willing to do it. I don't know. But I think today is different. I think today Chula Vista needs a fresh vision. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm asking the community is, you know, we put together our website. We keep it updated constantly. You know, visit our website. You know, write to us. Communicate with us. You know, I want to hear what the concerns are in the community, whatever they are. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to promise that I'm going to be able to address all of them, but I need to know what they are. Mm-hmm. And I think we're asking people in Chula Vista to really get involved. Get out there. Get to know the candidates. Ask questions. Find out what their experiences are, what they intend to do. But, you know, get involved and stay involved. That's always been kind of my campaign platform. And, again, get to know me, you know, look at my background and, you know, ask yourself this one question. You know, where do you see Chula Vista 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? Mm-hmm. I think once you're on that question, then it will probably help you pick the right candidate.
You know, we went to this meeting last week. I was with Mark. We went to this meeting. It was Chula Vista Live. And it was, you know, several different people from the community. There was a Border Patrol agent. There was a police officer. There was just kind of all kinds of different, you know, elements of the Chula Vista community. And the one thing that I think everybody, because, you know, they asked the same question. They said, where do you see, you know, Chula Vista? Give us like a vision statement of where you see Chula Vista in a couple of years from now. And they gave everybody this, like, you know, big old poster board. And everybody kind of wrote out the, you know, their vision of what Chula Vista should be or will be in the next couple of years. And I think the one element that was there altogether that was the common factor amongst everybody was homelessness. There was a couple things that came up, affordable housing, you know, kind of not rent control. I think I was talking to you about rent control
yeah. Jobs and stuff.
Jobs, the Broadway corridor, you know, homeless shelters, public safety. There was a lot of issues and a lot of the stuff that I think you don't really think of when, you know, I went there with the mind state of, you know, homelessness and, you know what I'm saying, the shelters and those kind of things. But, you know, and, you know, the stuff that we had already discussed. But I think there's a lot of stuff that having, like, focus groups like that kind of brought out in other people. And, you know, a lot of that stuff we don't have to get into, but what do you see as at least one factor that you think that everybody kind of can, you know, agree on that you would like to move forward on?
And I know other candidates have said this too, but I'm going to say it because there is validity to it, our public safety. Mm-hmm. You know, we could build the most beautiful city with all the wonderful things, but if we don't have a really robust and well-funded, adequately funded public service agency, we're going to regret it. I tell people this, you know, we either pay now or we pay later. You know, do we wait until something happens in our own community because our police department were short-staffed and they couldn't get to the call fast enough? And we have the new, you know, we have the news cameras, you know, painting yet again another bad picture of Chula Vista. Mm-hmm. Do we wait until that happens? I say no. Time has come for us to think differently. We need to manage our growth. Quite frankly, I don't think we've done a good enough job managing our growth. So if you look at the size of our city, the number of calls, and the number of police officers, it's just a mathematical equation.
No.
We are shorthanded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there is the safety of the police officers, right? So again, our police chief and our fire chief, you know, they've been out in the community. Finally, they're coming out and really sharing this information. And quite frankly, it's brave of them, mm-hmm. right? But the information is there. It's undeniable. And I think we're in a state of crisis. I would go as far as saying that. So I would say public safety, finding a way to make sure that our public safety agencies are adequately funded and staffed to be able to support the type of growth that I'm advocating for, is at the top of my priority. And I think it is for everyone.
Yeah.
But that's easier said than done. The question is how? Mm-hmm. How do we do it? So there's some tough decisions to be made that may or may not get you an election. But they're critical decisions that we have to make.
Yeah.
And I'm known for making those tough calls, because I think those are the decisions that's in the best interest of our residents and our city.
Yeah.
Politics aside, but that the time is now. So yeah. I'm really calling on all of our elected officials and our residents to really take a hard look at this,
yeah.
and ask ourselves: Chula Vista is projected to grow to about 350,000 people by the year 2035. That's right around wow. the corner. That's a huge city. Yeah. That's a lot of service calls.
We're the, yeah. the second yeah. largest city in San Diego, right?
Right now we are. Wow. Yeah. So we're around 268,000 people.
Wow. And do we have the opportunity to become like the first with all the development? Is that
probably
possible?
Not. No. No. Okay. No. I mean, city of
What's
San Diego.
What's the first largest?
City of San Diego is the largest city. Oh, okay. And then it's us. And I think there are about, okay. we have 16, 17 cities mm-hmm. within San Diego County. Yeah. But certainly our growth trajectory is looking mm-hmm. pretty healthy.
Right.
Just in the next 5 years, we have about 3,900 new housing units that are projected to come out of the ground within the next 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if you look at it in the city of Chula Vista, on an average, we have 3.2 people live in one household.
Yeah.
So do the math. That's about an additional 10,000 people adding to our population just in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have to really look at that issue seriously.
And I got a question too. I didn't know about this, but I noticed that one of the issues, something that you're looking at was a 4-year university here in Chula Vista. What is that? What project is that?
Well, if you look at East Chula Vista or part of the Millennia, this has been actually in the master plan for many, many years. You know, we've always wanted to have a 4-year university in Chula Vista,
mm-hmm.
right? Although we don't really have anyone that's ready to sign on the dotted line, but mm-hmm. I believe we have not only local universities, but even some international universities. Last time I heard that some British university was actually looking at opening up a campus. So although nothing has been signed, but I'll tell you, we're on the world stage.
Okay.
So really, the name Chula Vista really is now on the map, not only for large companies to come in and set up shop, but also for a 4-year university. And here's the reason why. Let's take the Amazon that everybody's been, you know, hearing about.
Mm-hmm.
A company like Amazon, they look at typically four or five kind of ingredients, if you will, before they would make that kind of a decision. A, they look at availability of land, or we call it shovel ready. That means a community that's ready to go, not something that they're going to get to 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Check. Chula Vista's got that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They look for public transit. They want to be close within the center city. Check. We're, you know, 20 minutes to downtown San Diego, right? They certainly look for good climate. Well, hey, that's a leverage,
that
right? What better place you want to be in? But they also look at qualified workforce, right? These new companies no longer want their employees to drive an hour and a half to get to their place of work, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So typically they look for a qualified workforce within a 5 to 10 mile radius.
Mm-hmm.
So having a 4-year university will certainly play a huge role in creating the next generation of qualified workforce that would step in these high-paying jobs, engineering, biotech, education, medical, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So there are certainly good strategic reasons why we would want to have a university in Chula Vista.
So does that mean it's either the university or it's Amazon HQ?
No.
Or there's enough room
for
both?
We're hoping it's both. There's room for both.
Nice. Yes. Yeah.
Room for both.
There was some students at that meeting that mentioned biotech, right?
Yeah, the high school students.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you drive north on the 5 or on the 805, how long do people wait in traffic to get to their jobs over in Sorrento Valley, Miramar, where these high-paying jobs are?
Yeah.
You know, it's time to bring those jobs here to Chula Vista, so that way it gives people a fighting chance to earn a livable wage.
Yeah.
And here's something that you may or may not know, and I was pleasantly surprised when I heard this from our economic development department, that we have the second highest household median income in the city of Chula Vista, in San Diego County. And I think somebody said the first one was City of Del Mar. So, but the truth of the matter is 80% of our residents actually leave the community to go to their place of employment.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of high earners in Chula Vista. But they have to leave to go find jobs somewhere else. And what happens is they take their spending power with them.
Yeah.
So we have a huge, unusually high economic leakage. That means the money that's earned here, it's going outside the community. Now, if you were to reverse that trend, right, sales tax revenue, that's how you come up with additional revenues. That's how you take care of our police force. So when I say economic development, that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It kind of creates a vacuum, and it really begins to provide the type of resources that we need to be able to provide city services.
Mm-hmm. We had a question here from Marcos Antonio Navarro, MTO. He says, small businesses, how do we keep them alive?
We need to densify. If you were talking about Northwest Chula Vista, we need a higher population density along our urban core, so that they can support our small businesses, right? We need to do a much better job marketing downtown Chula Vista, even within the city of Chula Vista. I don't know how many of our residents in East Chula Vista are actually getting their car and drive downtown to downtown Chula Vista. I think some of the events that we're having have been very helpful. I can see some of our special events, because it's a magnet, right? So we need to create...
What special events? Like the Lemon Festival and the... Parade. Well,
we have the parade, we have the Lemon Festival, and there's a few other ones kind of along the way.
There's that classic car parade that they had back in September. I think it was Blast from the Past.
Yeah, yeah, they were having those like every Wednesday.
Yeah, I think the revitalization that has started in downtown Chula Vista is certainly helping. Some of it is just image. Again, it's that perception.
Even like jumping in real quick on that, like the perception, I think... Some of it is yes and no of that perception, because we are in Chula Vista. Most people would say, you know, I'll just go ahead and say it, oh, Chula Juana, you know, oh, that's what it is. But that is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to know our community and who we are. Most of it is, you know, Latinos, you know. You know, you go to South San Diego, a lot of it is, you know, Mexican or Filipino. And, you know, we have to know the demographic. And I think, like, downtown Chula Vista, the you know, I don't know. I haven't sat in on their meetings, but, you know, the Tava group or whoever it is, I think they could be doing a little bit better job embracing who the community is and the demographic here, and stop fighting the growth. I mean, you know, it's amazing that they started bringing in some of these breweries, but, you know, there's a lot more to Chula Vista than beer.
They got to make it to... place where, you know, guys like us, you know, in our early 20s, where we want to come and hang out.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to any, you know, recent college graduate, young professional, doesn't have a family, who wants to go out for dinner, go out on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to go to PB, downtown San Diego, North Park.
Those are the spots. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
those are the spots.
How many people are driving north on the weekends and leaving, where right here you have the infrastructure, you know, or the ability to have the infrastructure to bring people in here.
Yeah.
So here's the good news. In fact, on Saturday, my wife and my daughter, they love watching the cooking channel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's my favorite channel.
Yeah, and they said, Best of San Diego. We said, okay, let's see what it is.
La Jolla.
That was one of them. No, Chula Vista.
Really?
The restaurant on 3rd Avenue.
Temp.
No, it's two doors down from La Bella. I'm giving them a plug.
La Azul?
The La Bella Azul?
That one?
The one that they're open for breakfast and lunch only.
Yeah, that's it.
They made it to the cooking channel for the best chilaquiles in San Diego.
Yeah, what? I've been looking for like
cooking channel.
Oh wow.
So
I'll let you buy me some next.
So this is this is what I'm talking about. Perception and marketing, right? We need more stories like that. But here's the other thing. For those small businesses that are watching, let me tell you, I'm one of you. I've owned small businesses my whole life. But we need the small business community to be a part of the solution.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, there have been more than one occasion where I have gone into one of our local businesses and I said, gosh, you're asleep at the wheel. You know, business is competitive at best.
Yeah.
So if you're in business, you have to be willing to compete at the highest level. So this is what I mean by we need to stop feeling sorry for ourselves and start blaming why I'm not doing well and take more responsibility saying, what can I do to become a destination business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's plenty of blame to go around, but we need to stop doing that and say, small business community, we need responsible, excited, innovative small businesses that are bringing goods and services. We need a good marketing plan. We need to work with our police officers to really, really kind of create that walkable community. And we need to tell our stories. We need to tell more of our stories and let people know, come experience Chula Vista. You're going to love it. And here's the other thing. Here's my complaint. We need to have some of the best Mexican food in San Diego County on 3rd Avenue. And that's not happening right now. We need to fix that, right?
You know, me and Tim just went to we're in Barrio Logan the other day. And we sat, we talked to one of the guys that he kind of helped develop what Barrio Logan is now. And Barrio Logan is a destination place. Like, that's, like, we went there specifically to get Barrio Dogs the other day. And, you know, I don't know if you've had Barrio Dogs, but we should take them to go get some. the food is awesome there. And then even just, you know, the food at Salud. You have people from all walks of life that are going to Barrio Logan now to get food, to check out some art, you know, to go to the events that they're having there, to check out the breweries. And it's become a destination location. I think one of the solutions that they had was they embraced the community. They embraced what was around them and didn't fight it, you know. And I think that's one of the things that Chula Vista doesn't do as much, you know. And that's just me. I don't know, but... I mean, you have a lot of, I mean, even just the talent that has come out of Chula Vista, you know, you got, you know, just the bands, musicians, you know, just all kinds of cool stuff that has come out of there. And you don't really see too much embracement going on with that. You know?
And we need to embrace entrepreneurship.
Yes.
I mean, at the end of the day, big business has its place, but 80% of the jobs are created by the small business. I'm considered a small business. So you know, we need entrepreneurship. We need innovation. We need creative people. We need brave people. And we need a city that is super business friendly. And we need to do everything within our power to make sure that we remain a business friendly city, that we are inclusive. We're inviting entrepreneurs to come.
Yeah.
I think we have a lot of amazing talent in Chula Vista. Yeah. We just have to start believing and start acting on it.
I love it. And to me, I mean, I think, you know, in everyone, like, you know, even the meeting that I went to and just hearing everybody's, you know, needs and what everybody would like to see, you know, Chula Vista be in a couple of years. I think, you know, it's exciting to be kind of on that brink of change of, you know, seeing what's changing here, seeing, you know, just all the new different businesses that might be opening up. You know, I heard Balboa is supposed to be opening up.
A good burger.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm excited for that. All these, you know, being on the brink of change, I think is cool. I'm hoping there's going to be some more, you know, art opportunities for some, you know, cultural stuff that, you know, might happen here. We're looking to do some stuff here in Chula Vista as well. But, you know, just, you know, on that brink of change, you know, hopefully, you know, someone like yourself comes in, steps in and, hey, this is what we see. This is what needs to be done. You know, in tune with that, like, where would you see Chula Vista in 10 years from now?
I see the first phase of our Bayfront development actually out of the ground. So I see 10 years from now, we actually have some bayfront condos.
How long is that going to take?
And I can only give you what I've heard. The best estimation is that the first phase of the residential will actually be out of the ground in about 5 years. I think the hotel and the convention will certainly be, if it's not open, it certainly is near completion. Mm-hmm. And I see Third Avenue completely built out from E Street all the way to H, and hopefully going south of H. Hopefully we start seeing some new development, some residential development going on there. I think Millennia Project, I think that large office development, hopefully at least phase one and hopefully phase two of it will be developed. I see our population growing by another 10 or 15,000. I see the image of Chula Vista changing. Yeah. Hopefully next time I go outside the community and I tell them I'm from Chula Vista, they say, great, tell me more about it. Mm. You know, I just see new opportunities. I see new jobs. I see people having more reason to want to stay and shop here. And I see our small businesses doing much better than they are today.
Yeah. We have a watcher here, Adriana Ruiz. She says, big ups to the moms and pops and get rid of the Walmarts. What's your thought on big business and corporate here in Chula Vista?
You know, I've never worked for corporate America. I've always been a small business guy.
Mm. What was your micro-lending program?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, about 25 years ago, I was a small dude. I knew nothing about this stuff. A group of small businesses came together and said, you know what, you know, we're turned down by every large bank. We have no access to capital. So I went ahead and I created a small business program, you know, providing $500 to $30,000 loan to, you know, minority women-owned businesses. So I know a little bit about small business.
Such a good idea.
Now... Specifically about Walmart is not going to go away. Mm-hmm. And if you think you're going to make it go away, I think we're going to have to talk about that because they're not going to go away. But can we go to Walmart, and I think we can, and say, we want to look at your business practices, where you buy your supplies from, and we want to negotiate and push on them to create some community benefits agreements. And I'll tell you, this stuff has been done before. I'm not making this up. It's been done before. But the question is, as a community, are we going to turn our back to them? Are we going to face them? And are we going to work with them? Walmart is here to stay. They are not going away. They are a worldwide commerce machine. But can we get Walmart to agree to at least provide 5 to 10% of their purchasing power in terms of small contracting opportunities? There's power in that. Those are the type of solutions that I want to bring to our city.
Yeah.
And then as far as small business community, I want to say this out clearly. Our small business community has been the driving force behind U.S. economy for hundreds of years. That will never, ever change. So for any small business that has this fear of change, I say, come at it, you know, look at it from a place of abundance, not scarcity, right? Mm-hmm. Don't let fear stop you, right? As a small business owner, there are things that we can do that Walmart could never do. And that is one simple thing. Build relationships. If you go to Walmart, do you have a relationship with the guy there? No. But if you go to a small business shop,
yeah.
I will pay more to shop at a local business than going to Walmart if I could get that personable, really, that experience. It's just that we need to invite our business community to come along on this journey with us, right?
Yeah.
Again, just keep focusing on customer service, relationship. At the end of the day, that's what, as consumers, we want, and I'll tell you, we will pay for it. So it's not just price that matters. It's really the experience. I think our small businesses can really provide an experience that Walmart cannot compete with.
Yeah, I like it. One of my favorite projects that you were involved with was you had something to do over with the Jacobs Center and the Writer's Block, correct?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, I, right after my experience working in downtown San Diego, I was actually recruited by the Jacobs family, the Jacobs Center for Neighborhood Innovation. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted to make a large investment in Southeast San Diego. But going into that neighborhood, they realized that, look, you know, this is not as simple as us just bringing our checkbook and start writing checks. So I was hired as their director of business development, and my job was to go into the small business community, you start working with local businesses and kind of get to know, you know, if I wanted to get something done, who do I need to know? Well, I quickly realized that one of the groups that I had to work with was a group of guys that were before going on tagging walls, but, you know, they were creative, one of some of the most creative people. So I reached out to them and I said, hey guys, you know, we want to do some development, but I don't want our business to get tagged. You know, help me out there. What do we do? They said, well, you know, why don't you provide us with some space, you know, give us some resources instead of us, you know, tagging the buildings, you know, give us a place where we can come and kind of bring our artistic talent to the forefront. Honestly, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. So lo and behold, it really turned out to be Writer's Walk was really born out of that initiative, yeah. Where the Jacobs Center, provided, I think, about 1.5 acre of yeah. land that we really didn't know what to do with it. So yeah. these guys actually created a graffiti park, mm-hmm. and then it became a skate park. And then towards the end, I know we had, organizations, museum people would come and pay these guys, you know, a handsome amount of money just to use some of their art as a backdrop. So it really became a place where guys in the community would come together. It was a safe haven for yeah. them. They started having some educational classes. And at some point, I know we're talking about creating some product for them. And yeah. But unfortunately, I heard that recently they had to vacate that site to make room for development. So it was sad to see that happen. But, you know, I had the pleasure of working with some of these guys. And just some of the work that they did was beyond belief. And I'm sure if you Google it, you can still yeah. see some of that stuff.
Once you're sitting on the seat, maybe you can help us build something like that here in Chula Vista.
I would love to, but I'll tell you, those things are hard to pull together yeah. because you're fighting against city ordinances. You're fighting against those that have this kind of a perception about graffiti means crime.
Yeah.
There is a perception. Yeah, there's a kind of a stigma attached to it. But I'd love to see some of those, you know, community driven. Initiatives happen in Chula Vista.
We have another question. There's a lot of new businesses in downtown Chula Vista. There's a lot of new breweries. How is this looking for the Chula Vista community?
You know, I'm not a big beer drinker. I enjoy occasional beer. The fact of the matter is these guys are pioneers and are willing to come and take the financial risk to open up business. Mm-hmm. You know, over the next 10 or 15 years, you know, is it going to be the best use of the use along Third Avenue? Time will tell. We do have to limit the number of them. I think we're kind of reaching that critical mass. Yeah. But I believe that these individuals that came in and took a financial risk to bring their ideas, I think, are mm-hmm. creating new opportunities for others to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would say to the person who wrote in, there's plenty of room for new ideas to come. We want more food. We want retail. We want yeah. art. We want there's plenty of room for everyone. But you know, this craft beer in San Diego, it's what sells. I mean, yeah. you know, we're known as kind of ground zero for craft beer. So, yeah. excuse me, we certainly have our fair share of it. But I think we have to look at how many licenses do we want to issue in one geographic area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, you know, folks at the city are looking at that stuff. But I don't have the exact numbers. But I understand what your concern is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's something I brought up in that meeting we went to last week, where I, you know, I said, you know, hey, if Third Avenue is going to become, Brewery Row, then cool, then call it that and hit that mark, you know. If not, then put a cap on it and just say, hey, we're only going to have, you know, 15 of them here or whatever it might be. I'm sure they're close to that. But how many more liquor licenses are you going to give for Third Avenue? You know, that's a lot already.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go, it seems like it's all here, North Third Avenue, all the breweries. Then you go South Third Avenue and you got, you know, probably the same amount of dispensaries. And so, you know, you got all the marijuana dispensaries on South Third Avenue. And, you know, I even... you know, put the question out there. Well, how many of these are out in Eastlake? How many of these dispensaries? Because there's like a clump of maybe, you know, 12 dispensaries or something in South, you know, South Third Avenue. And how many of these are out in Eastlake? You know, it seems like out here is where they got them all. And it's like, man, like, at least spread them out a little bit, you know, and, you know, it just, it seems like it's just, you know, you're kind of giving it all here at Third Avenue, and, you know, they got to make room for some other stuff, I think.
Well, as a community, we're going to have to grapple with some of this stuff. You know, how do we distribute some of these uses? But certainly Third Avenue seems to be, there seems to be a kind of a cool factor that's attracting some of these breweries to, you know, to come and set up on Third Avenue.
Yeah. There's we got Elias that came in. He says, our youth needs somewhere to go. I don't see Chula Vista as youth friendly. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that's something we're going to have to look at. I would have to agree with you. I have a 12-year-old daughter. Every time I ask her, let's go, you know, go take a walk along Third Avenue. She goes, well, what is there to do?
So, drinking beer.
So I think as we look at the growth of downtown Third Avenue, we got to make sure that there's something for people of all ages to be able to come and connect to.
Yeah.
So I don't have a specific answer to the person, but thank you for bringing that up. I think it's this type of a dialogue and input that we need to have so that as we create the vision, we make sure that all these elements and components are built into it.
Yeah. Even, like I know over in like Oleander, they have like a skate park, but I think it's Boys and Girls Club maybe, or YMCA or Boys and Girls Club. Mm-hmm. But, you know, nobody really knows about it, and it's all tucked away, you know, on Oleander, and, it, you know, nobody really knows about it. I think, you know, this area could use some stuff like that.
Well, what I would do is I would invite a group of our youth to come together.
A little focus group.
And have some sort of a visioning session with them. I bet you they can come up with a bunch of great ideas.
Yeah.
But then don't just have them do the ideas. Get them engaged in the process, right? You want a skate park, guess what? We're going to have to figure it out. So again, what an opportunity for our youth to really learn and be part of this process. And you know, with their kind of a support, we have a much better chance of getting stuff done in the community as opposed to asking me what I should do for the youth. I don't know, but I want to ask the youth that question.
Yeah, I love it.
It's good. I like that strategy. I think... I mean, even when it comes down to when I do marketing and whatnot, and, you know, am I going to go to the older generation to see how marketing should be done, or should I go and talk to the younger generations and say, what do you want to see? What are you into? You know, what's something that you constantly go to? What's your go-to platform? You know, I think that's always important questions because, you know, that's the next generation. So they're the ones that are going to start making the next thing popular. So if it's not Facebook right now and it's Instagram, and they're all about Instagram, then I want to be where those generations are. So I'm going to promote on Instagram because those are the growing generations. Those are going to be the next managers. They're going to be the next assistant managers, business owners as they grow up. You know, I'm a millennial, so that's exactly what we are right now. We're the next managers and we're the next business owners. And so you're going to be talking to our generation. Yeah, so you got to appeal to us because we're going to be the next ones taking over. And, you know, and it's the same thing with the younger generations. You want to appeal to them. And for any project, too, if it's right now, you're looking at, like, am I going after the young crowd or am I going after the older crowd? Well, this is a city that, you know, has a lot of history and a lot of old habits. And, you know, we're talking about a fresh future, right? So, you know, I think we're stepping into the right direction of things. And I like your vision on everything. It's, I think it is a fresh, you know, a fresh vision. You know, I like everything that's going on. But, yeah, definitely, I think looking at the younger generations, talking to them is a great strategy for that.
You know, if I could offer another thought on this, I think we have to stop assuming what's right for people and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a habit that I think we all have, and it's something that I'm really conscious of. You know, I don't want to assume what's right for the youth.
Mm.
I want to create an environment where they can come in and give their input and be a leverage to them so that they can implement some of these ideas. And, you know, and that's how great communities are developed, by this type of a constant feedback system.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to make sure that it's not just about giving feedback. It's about engagement. So there's plenty of needs. Our youth are a big part of our community. They are the future. I'm not. I'm just trying to do my part, but you are the future. And you're absolutely right. But we do need to care not only for our young ones, we do need to care for our seniors as well. In fact, I've been spending a little bit of time, you know, hanging out with some of our seniors at the Congregational Tower because, you know, they have needs too, and their needs are different than yours, than mine.
Yeah.
But I think that's how great communities and great neighborhoods are developed, where we really think broadly. And again, that's the type of sensible thinking that I want to bring to our city. You know, we need to talk to as many people as we can. Yeah. Everyone's input is valuable, and everyone should have a seat at the table as we make these decisions.
And if the public has any other questions or any other listeners, how could they get these questions to you that, you know, maybe you could provide some answers on a different, on a personal level?
Sure, you can contact our campaign phone number, which I can get that out to you shortly, but in the meantime, or you can email me at max4chilavista@gmail.com, max4chilavista@gmail.com, or you can go to our website. There's a place where you can contact us. Again, it's max4chilavista. We have a Facebook page. There's a contact information there, or a contact window, and then our campaign phone number is, I'm pulling that up right now,
619-500-7295.
Where are we gonna be seeing you next? What's coming up? What events are you gonna be at?
You know, starting next week, we're gonna actually go on the streets. We're gonna start knocking on neighbors' doors, and so we'll be doing that for the next few weeks. So if you live in Northwest Chula Vista, I hope to be able to reach out to you. I will knock on your door if you're not there. I will leave some marketing material to let you know how you can get a hold of me.
So have dinner ready, folks.
Yeah, have dinner ready.
Cookies.
And be prepared for a great conversation. I'm going to go out and I'm going to ask our residents how they feel about Chula Vista. What is it that they want to see? Great. What's working? What's not working? I'm just looking for a dialogue. I'm just looking for an opportunity to engage our residents at the highest level. We are planning on having a couple of fundraising events, which we usually post those on all of our social media sites. So I would encourage you to go to our Facebook page, again, our campaign Facebook page, Max for Chula Vista. Like our page, so that way, you know, when we post something, you're automatically. And if you want to be on our database, you know, go to our webpage, ask to volunteers, or add, you know, to be added to our database.
So you are accepting volunteers, right?
Absolutely. We love our volunteers. Again, this campaign is grassroots.
And contributions.
Contributions. You can make those on our website, again, Max for Chula Vista.
Okay.
Easy to contribute. You know, campaigns are expensive to run. Yeah. But most of our work is really done by our volunteers. But we would love, you know, we would love to have contribution. But really volunteer your time. Get involved. Yeah. And there's really something to do for everybody, whether you like to make calls or just go, you know, go walk the neighborhood with us, or put a sign up in your yard. You know, just let us know.
That phone number, say it one more time. I misspoke. It's 619-700-7095.
Well, also we have the coffee shop downstairs. Maybe we can set something up. You come do a little coffee with Max, and anybody that has any other questions that wants to come speak to Max personally. Maybe we'll set something up downstairs at the Gathering Grounds Cafe where you can just sip some coffee and ask you some questions.
We'd love to. I would welcome it. And again, if anybody in the community, if they want to invite us to go, you know, talk to their neighbors, or if they want to host us out there, you know, a lot of people are saying, hey, look, you know, I want to invite 50 of my neighbors to come and just sit down and chat with you. So so we'd love to, you know, get in front of people. So let us know, and we'll be there for sure.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Well, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it. And you too, Mark. Thanks for coming by. We appreciate everything you're doing for the community as of now, and can't wait to see what you know, what else you got going for the future of Chula Vista. So, you know, and just appreciate everything you're doing with us, you know, just coming by, helping us out, and being a part of what we're doing. So thank you for that. Anything else you want to add?
No, just...
You kind of said it all, huh?
Yeah. Just vote for Max Zaker, everyone.
There you go. You got
appreciate that.
You got all the endorsements right there. Right on. Appreciate you, Max. Anything else you want to plug up?
Chula Vista is on the move, so get involved, stay involved. This is a great community, and the future, our future is very, very bright, and I'm really, really excited. And thank you for having me here. Well, I hope I was able to shed some light on these, but if you have any specific issues that you want us to address or investigate for you, please let us know.
And that's at www.max4chulavista.com.
Boom, and there you have it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys. We'll talk to you guys soon, and we out of here. Connected.